So this is the continuation of the same verse, text 3, Canto 1, chapter 1. So we'll continue from paragraph 7. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principle of activities, can understand the false representations of the original rasas, which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in a spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, less intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the spirit whole without knowing of the different rasas. In this sloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge, by submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain a full pleasure of his heart's desire. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple, Sri Vyasadev. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and Srila Sukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense. But Sri Sukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet despite his being a completely liberated person situated in a transcendental position above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated soul, who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity, not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as Sukha. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is made mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Sukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental taste, which are distinct from the perverted taste of the material world. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. Foolish people who are not in a transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunders by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa, known as the rasa dance, without following in the footsteps of Sukadeva Goswami, who present this fruit very carefully by stages of transcendental realization. Once be intelligent enough to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavat school suggests that in the future also Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from a person who is factually a representative of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. A professional man who makes a business out of recitation the Bhagavatam illegally is certainly not a representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such a man usually go to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of undergoing this grave subject. They usually plunge into the subject matter of the rasa dance, which is misunderstood by the foolish class of men. Some of them take this to be immoral, which others try to cover it up by their own stupid interpretations. They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious students of the rasa should receive the message of Bhagavatam in a chain of disciplic succession from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who described the Bhagavatam from its very beginning and not whimsically to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in transcendental science. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and serious person cannot once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarian juice through the mouths of Sukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative. Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Si Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Siyam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayvacha Paridanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Narad Muni it told Vyasadeva that words that do not describe the glories of the Lord are like the unto pilgrimage place for the crows. Word that doesn't describe the glories of the Lord are like pilgrimage placed. What is pilgrimage place for the crows? Huh? It's garbage, yeah. You know, and it's useless. Words that do not describe the glories of the Lord are like pilgrimage place for the crows. And he also mentioned, whereas even if words glorifying the Lord is not properly recited is accepted by saintly person. So this Bhagavatam is a ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. It was already spoken, already relished. And here is a comparison given. It's like sukha. Sukha also means bird, parrot. You know, when a fruit is beaten by eaten by the bird, the taste of the fruit of the parrot and the fruit, the taste increases more. So Sukadeva Goswami is a very, very exalted personality. And Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, why do we call it Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it deals mostly about the devotees, Bhagavatas. If you read, if you read about Prahlad Maharaj, in other Puranas, the main focus is on Narsingadev. The main focus is on Narsingadev. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, the focus is on Prahlad Maharaj, mostly. And you'll find there are many, many chapters on Prahlad Maharaj than Narsingadev. There are about 7 or 8 chapters on Prahlad. Prahlad in the womb, Prahlad instructing schoolmates, Prahlad's prayers to Narsingadev. So there are many chapters of Prahlad Maharaj than Narsingadev. Even that chapter speaks about Hrinakashipu. Half of it is about Prahlad Maharaj. This is why this is a very, very exalted book about the devotees, mostly. Krishna's pastime comes in 10th canto. So even if we also read a story of Vitrasur fighting with Indradev, in other Puranas, the main focus, glorification, is about Indradev. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, the glorification goes to Vitrasur. Although he was a demon, but internally he was a great devotee. He's Chitraketu from previous birth. And even also Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's story in other Puranas, Vamanadev is glorified mostly. His focus is on Vamanadev. But in Bhagavatam, is Bali Maharaj. And just see, all of them are coming from their demon family. Prahlad, Vitrasur, as well as Bali Maharaj. So in Bhagavatam, that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is a focus on the devotees, mostly book Bhagavat, and then also devotee Bhagavat, you know. So by serving Bhagavatam, Nashta Preshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Bhagavat has to be read daily. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that Bhagavatam we should not hear Bhagavatam from the professional reciters. Because professional reciters, they don't have the inclination to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. They're just doing recitation of Bhagavatam to earn their livelihood. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of, just like milk touched by serpent causes poisonous effect. You know? When milk touched by a serpent causes poisonous effect. So one should hear Bhagavatam from the bona fide representative, as Prabhupada has mentioned, from the parampara system. Then it will become very effective. It's not meant to make a livelihood. It's not meant to earn money. One time also, there was a I think it was Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit, he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He was giving Bhagavat Katha. You know, they do Bhagavat Saptaha also. 7 days Bhagavat. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit was there for 7 days because he was to die in 7 days. That's why he listened to Bhagavatam in 7 days. But otherwise, it is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Forever. Every day we have to hear Bhagavatam. And then when Devananda Pandit was doing Bhagavat Katha, at one point Srivas Thakur, he was also listening. He was also there. Srivas Acharya. And after hearing so much about the glorification of Krishna, he became so ecstatic. And then he stood up and started dancing. You know, in the great audience, he was dancing. But the followers of Devananda Pandit thought that Srivas Thakur is creating some disturbance. You know, is causing some disturbance. And they went and they just grab him and drag him inside. Kick him out from the audience. And Devananda Pandit, the speaker of Bhagavatam, did not say a word, did not say anything. He did not do it personally, but he did not say anything. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it, Mahaprabhu was very upset. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What does this Devananda Pandit, what does he know about Bhagavatam? He's speaking on Bhagavatam, but he's offending another Maha Bhagavat. And who is Srivas Thakur? Who is Srivas Thakur? Huh? Narad Muni, yes. Narad Muni. Narad Muni is also one of the speakers of Bhagavatam. He's a great soul. Maha Bhagavat, Narad Muni. So Devananda Pandit is speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam, but at the same time is offending another Maha Bhagavat. And Mahaprabhu said, he will not get love of Godhead. He will not get love of Godhead. He doesn't know. So, there's book Bhagavat also, devotee Bhagavat. So we should be serving both. And this is explaining here, full of nectar. And this one time when Sukadeva Goswami was about to recite some Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. In fact, this is mentioned in other Puranas. The demigods came and they asked Sukadeva Goswami, "This nectar that you're about to give to Maharaj Parikshit, don't give that to him. Give him the nectar that was churned from the ocean of milk. And this one, you can give it to us." You know? This nectar from the Bhagavatam. The demigods, they were requesting Sukadeva Goswami that this nectar, you give it to us. But for Maharaj Parikshit, you can give him that nectar that was what was received from the ocean of churning of the ocean of milk. That nectar you gave him. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he rejected the proposal. Practically he made fun of the demigods, you know. Because he mentioned that There is no comparison of this spiritual nectar from Bhagavatam compared to the mundane nectar. That nectar that was churned from the milk ocean is not the real nectar. It gives longer life, but not eternal life. The nectar that was churned from the ocean of milk. I heard one time Radhanath Maharaj mentioned very beautiful point. He mentioned that when the coward boys, they were entering the huge mouth, belly of Agasur, you know, because they thought that was a cave. And kids like to go and play. So they were all going inside. But at one point, they were looking at the Agasur, you know, it's like a cave, but at the same time, it looks like a snake, you know. And they thought, okay, even if that is a cobra or a snake, I mean, Krishna is here. Krishna is going to protect. And they entered. And then Krishna also entered. He has to save his devotees. But Maharaj explained that the demigods, they were all watching from the sky. All the demigods, they were watching. And they were afraid, they were scared. Aho, hey, what's going to happen if Krishna is gone? What is going to happen to us if Krishna is killed? They were afraid, they were scared of their own life. So Maharaj explained that although the demigods, they have taken this amrit, you know, this nectar from the churning from the milk ocean, still they were scared. Still they were afraid of death. Whereas the gopas, they never took that, you know. They never had this nectar coming from the milk ocean. And not only that, they were also not very far. The demigod, they were far away from this cobra, from this Agasur. Still they were afraid. And the gopas, they were not far away. They were inside Agasur. They went inside, but they were not afraid of death. Although they have not taken that amrit from the milk ocean, churning from the milk ocean. You know, that's the difference Maharaj mentioned. That because the gopas, they were churning the nectar. They were drinking the nectar every day by seeing Krishna. That's the real nectar. Every day. Seeing Krishna. That's the real nectar. So, the new gods, although they have taken the nectar coming from the milk ocean, but still they were afraid of death. And they were far away. But the gopas, they were very, very near the Agasur. And inside, still they were not afraid because they were drinking the real nectar. You know, Amrit means death. Nectar. Mrita means death. Amrit means no death. Eternity. Eternal life. We would drink every day. Charana Amrita. You know? Charana Amrit. So, and seeing Krishna, also drinking the nectar. That's why devotees, every day, as soon as we get up, the first thing is having darshan of the Lord. That's drinking the nectar. And this nectar is not drank by mouths. It's drank through the ears. You know? So that's the recipient to drink this nectar of this Srimad Bhagavatam. So one time also Brahmaji, he was trying to scale. You call it scaling? Balance? Both sides. He was trying to measure the Bhagavatam. On one side, he put Bhagavatam. On the other side, he had been putting these other processes, you know, like jnana and karma, all these other processes on the other side, just to see the weight and the balance. But still, the Bhagavatam remain heavy. You know? Because there's no comparison. And Sukadeva Goswami is the liberated soul. Although he was already liberated, but he was still attracted by the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami, he's Srimati Radharani's parrot. You know, when Radharani left this planet, and Sukha also wanted to go, and Radharani told the parrot, "No, you go where Srimad Bhagavatam is being recited." This parrot. And then the parrot came where Lord Shiva was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to whom? Parvati, yeah. And she was sitting, and Shiva was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Shiva also is one of the speakers of Bhagavatam. So, you know, whatever there is Bhagavatam class, also Nidra Devi come. You know? Lokanath Maharaj used to say, he said, there's two mantras when we say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, they're sleeping. When we say, Mahaprasade Govinde, devotees, oh. So while he was reciting Bhagavatam, Parvati was listening. But Shiva has also asked Parvati to respond. When I speak, you must respond. Because Lord Shiva, he will be absorbed in speaking Bhagavatam with closed eyes. So Parvati must be responding. No, like, yes, yes, yes. So this bird came, and the bird was standing on that tree to listen to Bhagavatam. In fact, at this part, nobody is supposed to listen, because this is very, very confidential. So Parvati was listening to Bhagavatam. At one point, she fell asleep. She was responding, and then she fell asleep. And Shiva was completely absorbed in speaking. And then the bird started to respond, so that Lord Shiva would continue speaking. And the bird continued, You know, so parrot got to listen to Bhagavatam. Complete. That's the parrot of Radharani. And then after that, Lord Shiva, you know, he came to his external consciousness, and then he found that Parvati is sleeping. Up. But who was responding? And he looked up and he saw the bird, the parrot. And he became so angry. Lord Shiva, he just took his trishul, his trident, and then he went and chased the parrot, to kill the parrot. You know, because this is very confidential. No one is supposed to listen, but the bird was there hiding, and he was listening. And then Lord Shiva came running, chased the bird, trying to kill. And then the bird came flying to the ashram of Vyasadev, and his wife was there. And I think she was yawning, you know, open mouth. And then the bird went shoop, you know, inside the body of the wife of Vyasadev. And Lord Shiva came, said, "Hey, where is this bird? Tell me. You know, I have to kill this bird, because nobody is supposed to listen to Bhagavatam. Those who listen to Bhagavatam become immortal. You know? And this is very confidential. Those who listen to Bhagavatam become immortal, but this bird, secretly he was listening, so I need to kill that bird." Vyasadeva said, "Lord Shiva, you're wasting your time. You already mentioned that those who listen to Bhagavatam become immortal. So how can you kill the bird? It's too late. You know. So that is true. Immortality, Bhagavatam, listen to Bhagavatam, give eternal life. And the same bird then became Sukadeva Goswami. And it is explained, Sukadeva Goswami, he was liberated even within the womb of his mother. And how many years he was there? 16 years in the womb. He didn't want to come out. And Vyasadeva was talking to him, said, Beta, please. You have to come out, take birth. And said, no, I'm suffering here. Inside I am suffering. And Father said, oh, so now you take birth, come out. And he mentioned, but the suffering outside is 1,000 times more. The suffering outside in this world is 1,000 times more, much more than inside. And 16 years he was there. Not 16 months, but 16 years. He said the suffering outside in this material world is much more, 1,000 times more than inside. Which is true. You know, when the living entity, they are in the womb of mother, they pray. Because they're suffering, they pray to the Lord, as soon as I take birth, I will remain, I will always worship you, I will always remain at your feet. But then slowly we start getting attached to different things. We become attached to this world. And then we forget the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Lord Krishna mentioned to Vyasadeva, okay, tell him that for him he will not be influenced, he will not be affected by the three modes of material nature. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he took birth, his liberated soul. As soon as he took birth, shoop, he went to the forest. You know. And Vyasadeva was chasing to catch him. It's explained while they were going, there were some ladies that were taking a bath in the river. Without, they were not having their clothes on. So when Sukadeva Goswami was passing, they did not mind to cover their body. But when Vyasadeva was coming, and then they came out and then covered their body. You know. The sages asking this question to Sukadeva Goswami. Why that when Sukadeva Goswami was crossing, so the ladies, they did not cover the body, but when Vyasadeva was coming, they covered the body. Why is that? And Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that. Sukadeva Goswami was a Paramahansa. He was not making any distinction. But Vyasadeva is a Grihastha, so he makes distinction. He was a Paramahansa. Of course, Sukadeva Goswami is a liberated soul, but still he was attracted. Sukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi. You know, Brahmavadi? Not really Mayavadi, Brahmavadis. That's a bit different. And the four Kumaras also, they were Brahmavadis. Because the Mayavadi, for them, liberation is the highest level, liberation. But we can see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with that verse. Atmaramascha munayo nigranti api urukrame. It means that even liberated soul become attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. One example is Sukadeva Goswami. So liberation is not the highest. Liberation, Mukti Devi becomes the servant of Bhakti Devi. You know? So, mukti is not the highest, and we've been singing this morning. Varam deva moksham na moksham barimba na chanyam vrineham varishada piya idam deva purnata gopala balam Sadame manasya virastam kimanya. I don't want liberation. I don't want any types of liberation. You know, I don't want the liberation offered by even by the 9 processes of bhakti. I don't want that. And what does he want? The form of Bala Gopal in Vrindavan ever manifest in my heart. That's a prayer. You know, no liberation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was also great Mayavadi, but he got converted. After he was converted, he never wanted to listen to the word mukti. You know, he hated the word mukti, liberation. You know, he said mukti convey enviousness. You know, he even changed the word from Bhagavatam, muktipade, from muktipade to bhaktipade. Tate nukampam samikshamano. You know that verse? He said, Mahaprabhu asked him, what are you doing? This is Bhagavatam, you cannot change Bhagavatam. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has changed the word mukti into bhakti pade. And Mahaprabhu said, this is Bhagavatam, you cannot change. And Sarvabhauma said, no. Since I become Vaishnava, I hate this word mukti. You know. And Krishna was trying to explain, but mukti also means Krishna's lotus feet. And Sarvabhauma said, yes. You may have your own interpretation, but I hate this word mukti. So, this is Srimad Bhagavatam is actually, in fact, considered the cream of Vedic literature, and also is natural commentary. Why not only commentary? Shastra says the natural commentary of Vedanta. Why not the commentary? It's explained. It is the natural commentary. Why the word natural has been used of the Vedanta Sutra? Why? Because Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of Vedanta, not only Vedanta, also the Gayatri, you know, the Vedas, also the Mahabharata. Because why natural? Because the same author, the same writer who wrote Vedas, he's the same person who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is the natural. This is Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the natural commentary of the Vedas. And it's the cream of all Vedic literatures. So, this is expert and thoughtful man. Relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the major fruit of the desire of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated soul. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaur Premanande. If anybody would have any question or any comments,